Amen, folks. Are we excited? We need to be excited, right? Okay. Last Sunday, I shared on, well, it was an Easter message. And of course, that was the reason why, because we didn't have a meeting here on Friday. So I shared the Easter message. If you haven't got that, please listen to that, right? Because there are some very, very important points that I touched on, and I believe all of us are able to share, yeah, or are able to receive from that. But folks, today is Resurrection Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. He rose from the dead. And I tell you now that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we wouldn't be here today. Because then he would have been just like anybody else. Is that true? In the grave and remained in the grave. But he rose. He rose on this day. Now, it's interesting because the Word of God says that it is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, if you are a believer. Think about that for a moment. The same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and lives in me because we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, and I want to say this, that if the Holy Spirit lives in us, and He does live in us, then there should be signs and wonders and miracles that follow us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that signs and wonders and miracles will follow you? This thing has to be settled in our heart. Folks, it's about the Word of God and it's about the Spirit of God. The Word and the Spirit. Very, very important. Not the Word without the Spirit. In other words, where we just come together like this and we hear the Word, but stop the Holy Spirit from having His way. And we share the Word. And sometimes incredible messages are put together and actually shared biblical messages. But the problem is, because the Holy Spirit is not welcome in meetings, those messages become dry. The message is like it has no power. Right? It's as if it is really just another lecture as opposed to it being a message that is anointed. Is that true? The other side as well, okay? If there's a move of the Spirit and it is only the Holy Spirit and there's no Word, that's a problem as well. What will happen, that those type of meetings, that you'll find that there's no longevity. It's wonderful, folks, that we gather together in the presence of God, right? And we want the presence of God. We want to be in His presence because there's something that happens on the inside of us when we are exposed to God's presence. But let me say that if the Word of God is not shared in those type of meetings and continually not shared, right, first of all, there won't be longevity in those meetings. They will peter out. And also, biblical foundations will not be put in place because the biblical foundations come out of the Word of God. So the point I'm making is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now, a revival in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will just not be sustained if the Word of God and the Spirit of God are not there. Okay, do you agree? The Word, who is the Word? Jesus is the living Word. The Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And then we have the Father, right? So it's just like an aeroplane, you know, an aeroplane flying with two wings. Yeah. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. And the church must be open to the Word and the Spirit. And this really has to settle with us. You know, personally, I don't have a problem with some of these meetings. You know, some churches, it's kind of ongoing. They call it soaking meetings or river meetings or, you know, where God's presence is so tangible. You walk into those meetings and the presence of God is really there. But folks, if the Word of God is not preached, you know where it's destined. Word and the Spirit. So today, I would like to share, and here is the title of my message, and I trust that we're going to be encouraged here this morning, right? These signs will follow believers. These signs will follow believers. Now, before I start, you know, to share the word of God this morning, I would like to lay a foundation showing from the word of God what a true New Testament church is. There's a lot of churches out there, but we need to ensure that we are really true New Testament churches. And these foundations need to be in place so when we as the body of Christ gather together, we can build wide and we can build high as well. Is that true? Wide and high. Sorry, let's just wait for that. And folks, we are the church, and the foundations that we build on is really our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that true? So there's a scripture that I'm going to share with us this morning, and that's Acts 2, verse 42. Now this really kind of gives us what a New Testament church should be, in a nutshell. It says, they devoted themselves. That's how it starts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is the Word of God. So there's devotion to, you know, sitting around the Word of God, receiving the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God as well. The apostles' teaching and the fellowship. And this is something that is so important, folks, and we often miss out on. Where a true New Testament church, there is fellowship and friendships between brothers and sisters, where we get together. You know, I've said before, we try to make opportunities where after church we can have a cup of coffee or whatever together. But it needs to be deeper than that. We need to be truly those who have fellowship with one another and get to know each other. This is what family is all about. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? To the fellowship, the breaking of bread. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, in terms of what he did for us, remembering that we remember his death, his burial, his resurrection, and also his ascension, and all that he did for us. We do that. So it's a breaking of bread, and then it says, and prayer. It needs to be part of the church, for all of us. And remember, individually, we are the church. And prayer, as we heard earlier on, this is us speaking to God and being so tuned in that we are able to hear God when God speaks to us as well. And prayer. Then it goes on to say in verse 42, everyone was filled with awe, and that is really having a reverential fear of God, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Verse 47 says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In other words, as a result of individuals within the body of Christ doing things God's way, as I've just read, revival took place. Revival. The numbers daily. Now, it's interesting that he uses the word devoted. And I looked up the word devoted. Isn't it fantastic? We've got things called dictionaries. Huh? A dictionary. I don't know if young people know such a thing, you know. They think dictionary is spelled G-O-O-G. I don't know how they spell dictionary. Or Siri, yes. Yeah, or Siri, if you've got an iPhone. But folks, devoted means, and I looked it up, to appropriate by a vow. All right? In other words, when we talk about and we see the word devoted, it means great commitment. Great commitment. It also means to dedicate by a solemn act, and it means to be addicted to and to make a habit of. And folks, we need to be, according to what we've just read, we need to be addicted to and make a habit of the apostles' teaching. In other words, we reading the Word of God and, as I said, meditating on God's Word. We need to be addicted to and make a habit of the fellowship. See what he says. Devoted to. We need to be addicted to the ordinance of breaking of bread. Jesus commanded it. It wasn't a suggestion. He commanded that we break bread, right? And we also need to be addicted to and make a habit of spending time with God in prayer. Those things. Because if we do those things, then we will be filled with awe in that reverential fear of God that it speaks about. Then many wonders and miraculous signs will be done. Then the Lord will add to our number those who are being saved. So in a way, we can see that, you know, we have some control over this. If we just do it God's way, it's all in our hands. So we need to seriously ask ourselves, especially in light of this weekend, what Jesus has done for us. How committed are we to Him? How passionate are we about Him? Folks, signs and wonders. Do you know that they draw the unsaved? Huh? Let me first say, Jesus said that greater things will we do in His name than He did. Is that true? Is that scriptural? Now, can you imagine if one of us had a relative that really just didn't make it, passed away this morning, and we brought that relative here, and we all stood around, and we started to do what the Lord has told us to do, and suddenly this person rose from the dead. Jesus prayed for the sick and they rose from the dead. Jesus said, and you will do greater things than I've done. Is that true? And this person rose from the dead. You know, it would be wonderful for us that are here. But let me tell you something, how it would impact on the surrounding area. When word goes out that at His Way Church, people stood around, we all gathered around, and this incredible miracle took place. I can assure you folks that next Sunday, you'd better be here very early. In fact, we'll be saying to Mike, just this Sunday, can we take over the whole of the nursery and the coffee shop? Because people will be queuing up out in the street, I'm telling you right now. Is that true? So these miracles, these signs and wonders are good for us, but folks, they are for the unsaved. And those people, when they hear about it, they will want to know. They want to know what's going on, and they'll be here. So these are the signs now that follow believers. Now, my question to each one of us here this morning, here's the question. Are you a believer? Are you a believer in Jesus? All right? If you are a believer, then these are the signs that should be following you. And if you are here for the very first time, maybe, or maybe you're not born again, you're not a believer in Jesus, let me say that this message that I'm going to be sharing with us this morning, will really, it's just wonderful things that are in store for you in terms of what you're going to be exposed to. Amen. So, Mark 16:17, it says, and miraculous signs will follow those believing these things. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will be well. Folks, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that the Lord is talking to us here in 2023, April 2023, and just encouraging us with this. Okay? We can see from this scripture, you know, that I've just read here, that Jesus wants, and Jesus doesn't only want, Jesus expects you and me and all of us here today to perform miraculous signs and wonders and miracles in His name. I want to say that the source of the believer's power is in His name, is in the name of Jesus. Don't you go out and start to cast out a demon in any other name. There's a story in the Bible, you know, you probably all know what happened to those guys that, Paul I know, Jesus I know, you know, but who are you? Huh? Remember what they did. So folks, the power and the authority is in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And these signs will follow those who believe. And I want to ask you again, do you believe? So these signs will follow you. These signs will follow those who believe, not those who doubt, not those who disbelieve, not those who refuse to exercise faith. These are the five things that follow believers, that follow you. Number one, you'll cast out demons. Number two, you'll speak with new tongues. Number three, you'll take up serpents. And number four, you'll be immune from poison if you take it without your knowledge. Don't go and test the Lord your God. Okay, well, God says I can take poison. Who's got some poison for me? Look what. Don't test the Lord. Amen. And then number five, heal the sick. Heal the sick. And from the following scriptures that I'm going to be sharing with us this morning, I'll be reading from Mark and Luke, we can see, folks, that Jesus' command to preach the kingdom of God is seldom given apart from the command, and it is a command, to heal the sick and cast out demons. Let me read Matthew 10, verse 1. And he called his 12 disciples to him. And he gave them authority. So Jesus gave them authority. And it is Jesus that has given us the authority. Jesus gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Is that in your word? Mark 3:14, and he appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. Now watch here, what did he do? He sent them out to? Are we preaching? Are we sharing the gospel out there? He sent them out to preach, and to have authority and drive out demons. So basically what we've seen right there, that as they went out and they started to share the truth of the gospel, they shared the word, they were casting out demons as well. Is that in your word? He gave them authority to drive out demons. In Luke 9:2, it says, and then he sent them out to preach. Again, the preaching. And the preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So we can see there, you know, the common denominator is preaching the word of God and then laying hands on the sick, all right, and that they may be healed, casting out demons, but where the word of God is being preached. So folks, we have the authority. Isn't that incredible? Let me ask you a question. Don't answer me. When last did you drive out a demon? Be honest with yourself. Okay? When last did you drive out a demon? When was the last time that you laid hands on the sick? Okay. Folks, it is really up to us as believers to use the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased for us at Calvary. Good Friday, what he went through on the cross. We have the authority. The signs done by true disciples confirm that the message is genuine. And I believe we're at a point where we, as a church, we need to be stepping out, folks. Stepping out into this. Right? It's always difficult. It's always easier not to. Is that true? I'll speak about that now as well. So, folks, they show that God's kingdom has come to earth. When we start to do this, that the kingdom of God has actually come to earth in power. And it shows, too, that the living Jesus is present with his people. When we see these signs and wonders. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. So the bottom line is that as a Christian, you and I are now God's hands, God's feet, and God's mouth here on planet Earth. Like I said earlier, Jesus says, and greater things. Greater things will we do in his name. So basically what Jesus has done for us is given us the power of attorney to use his name. Amen. Remember, Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father. And we have the power of attorney, and we have the authority to use the name of Jesus. So, can I make this a little bit more personal for us? The same scripture that I read. How God anointed you and me with the Holy Spirit and with power so that we could go about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed by the devil. For God is with us. Amen. We need to take ownership of this, folks. We at a time in when you have a look at the times that we are living in right now, we cannot be lukewarm Christians anymore. Number one. And not only it's one thing being lukewarm, but we need to be on the offensive as well. We need to be laying hands on the sick. We need to be casting out demons, as the Lord has told us to do. But let me say, this is unlikely to happen unless you and I make a decision to exercise faith. And it's unlikely to happen unless you and I actually, and this is the hard part, decide to step out of the boat. We need to step out of the boat. This is unlikely to happen unless we are devoted to what he has instructed us to do. And we are committed to doing what he has told us to do. So, you know, it has absolutely nothing. This is the nice part about it, right? This has nothing to do with your ability. Nothing. Nothing to do with your ability. And it has nothing to do with your talent. Zero. But it has everything to do with our availability, with our willingness and obedience to the Word of God. And everybody said, amen. Sometimes it's lonely up here, let me tell you something. Check you guys out there, and I said, ooh, okay. No, I want to share it as it is. Seriously, okay? So I want to read now from Mark 16, verse 17 and 18 again, so that we can see what signs should follow us. Verse 17, and miraculous signs will follow those believing these things. I want to ask you, do you believe these things? Because if you do, then these are the signs that will actually follow you. In my name, that's where the power is, in the name of Jesus. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will be well. So, folks, every one of these signs that I've just read to us right now, except the drinking of poison, occurred in the recorded history of the early church. Every one of them, except that one. Okay? Miraculous spiritual manifestations. That's what it's all about. Miraculous spiritual manifestations are intended to continue. Right? until Jesus returns. Are they? Yes, they are, folks. They are. They are. These signs and wonders and miracles are intended to continue until Jesus comes again. Let me say this, that the scriptures never ever suggested that these signs were restricted for a certain period in time, maybe after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, for a while after that. It was never intended. Listen here, I'll confirm it from the Word. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, and then workers of miracles. Also those having gifts of healings, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking different kinds of languages. These signs are for now. Right? Because I'm saying that because some people don't believe they're for now. They really don't. They're off for now. The next thing, you know, that people then say, okay, well, maybe they're for now, but these signs are special gifts for a selected few believers. That's the next line. It's only for a few people. Okay, it's not for you, not for you, not for you. Or maybe it's for you, not for you, maybe for you, not, no, and not, yes, and maybe for you. People start to believe that. Is that true, folks? These signs are special gifts for a selected few believers. Well, the answer to that question is no, it is for all of us. So all of us, if you're a believer and you have God the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you, then this is for you. And let me show you from Scripture. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to all the creation. Then he said this, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now watch this. Watch this. This is incredible. And miraculous signs will follow those believing. Those believing. Miraculous signs will follow those believing these things. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will be well. Then he says, then indeed, after speaking to them, the Lord was taken up into heaven and he sat on the right hand of God. And going out, they, that's those who believe, you and me, proclaimed everywhere the Lord working with them and confirming the word, there it is again, confirming the word by miraculous signs following. So don't let anybody tell you that these signs and wonders are for a selected few. They're for all of us. They're all of us. All of us believers, okay, that are obedient to Christ can operate in this. Now, let me say this too, because failure of these signs following you and following me and the church as a whole is not Christ's failure, okay, to where he didn't keep his promise. Failure, Jesus states, lies within the hearts of believers, lies within the hearts of followers. Not just elders, deacons, okay, but everyone who has received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. This is for all of us. Sometimes people feel inferior. Oh, yeah, but you know, that's not for me, but it's for the pastor, or it's for the deacon, or it's for Joe so-and-so, who there's a special anointing on his life. No, folks. This is for all of us, okay? We as believers are his followers, so it lies with all of us. These things should be happening around us. Now, I want to read an interesting story to us. And let's have a look at Jesus' response to when these things don't follow us. Matthew 17:14. And here's the story. And they approached a crowd, And the man came to Jesus and knelt down in front of Jesus. I get the picture. So Jesus is in the crowd. This man comes up to him and kneels down in front of him. And he says to Jesus, he says, "Sir, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic." What is he? This is important. Epileptic. And he suffers terribly. He says, he often falls into the fire, right, and often into water. So what happens is this, when he's having these epileptic fits or whatever, or, you know, he's falling into fire, he's falling into water, as if, you know, all these terrible things happening to him. Now watch what this guy says to Jesus. He says, "I brought him to your disciples." These are the disciples that have been walked with Jesus for 3 years. "I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." Watch Jesus' response. Jesus replied, "You unbelieving and perverted generation. How long must I be with you?" How long, guys? Come on, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Bring this young boy to me. We can see right here that Jesus was not impressed with his disciples right there. Amen? Is that true? He wasn't impressed. Verse 18, then Jesus rebuked the demon. Remember, he had epilepsy. And now Jesus rebuked the? Do you know anybody that's got epilepsy? I'm just saying. Jesus told you what epilepsy is. It's a demon. We need to rise up, take authority over these things. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately, right, his disciples, and they said to him, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Okay, and he told them, "Because of your lack of faith." Hey guys, seriously, how long do I have to be with you? Because of your lack of faith. And folks, we are so blessed because we know how to get faith. The Bible's clear. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So when we start to spend time in God's word, faith starts to rise. So Jesus said, because of your lack of faith, for he says, "Truly I say to you, okay, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed." Now, many, many years ago, I was in a home group and somebody came along. And on a little piece of paper, they had put a mustard seed and they put some sticky tape over it. The reason is because they couldn't put it in their pocket because it would have disappeared. The mustard seed that they showed me at that time, and maybe somebody is an expert on mustard seeds, but it was like the size of maybe two pinheads or three pinheads. Is that true? Right. That's the size of a mustard seed. And we know that that grows into a huge tree. Because of your lack of faith, for truly I tell you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So, the situation that we see here is that the disciples could not heal this man's son. They couldn't heal him. Although Jesus had actually said that miraculous signs and wonders and miracles will follow you. But even his own disciples were struggling with this. He told them that they will cast out demons as well. And us as well, folks. And when he uses those words, man, can you imagine that? You know, you've been with Jesus for 3 years, and Jesus says, "Unbelieving and perverse generation." These are strong words. These are strong words. And these words refer to Jesus' estimation of his disciples who failed to minister to others like we've just mentioned here. In other words, in the real power and authority of his name. So these verses refer to the failure of believers, to people that are not setting the captives free, not casting out demons, not laying hands on the sick. And folks, when this is not happening, it really demonstrates, and I'm speaking to all of us here because there has to be a shift in us that we start to change. Okay? It really demonstrates, first of all, we saw a lack of faith, right? It demonstrates a lack of understanding, and it also demonstrates a lack of spiritual authority. In other words, we have the authority, but we don't understand the authority that we have. We have the authority. You better believe that. So these verses, really, they emphasize not only that Jesus drove out demons, which he did, you see, but also that he desires that his disciples, and he desires that you and me do the same exercise in faith, using his name. Amen. Now, just as I close here, I want to ask us a question. So what should our response be? What should it be to what Jesus said about signs that should follow us as believers in him? What should our response be? If we, folks, if we want to see these signs, these wonders, these miracles following us, right, I just want to give us 12 points, very briefly, that will help us with this. The first one is that you and I decide to be a doer of the Word of God and not just a hearer. In other words, we are devoted to His Word, we hear His Word, and we do it. Number one, if you want signs, wonders, miracles around you. Number two, desire to increase your faith. We need to be men and women of faith. Faith comes by? That's how. Hearing God's Word, being exposed to the Word of God. So we need to, our faith levels need to rise up. Number three, if we want these miracles to happen around us, we need to have an understanding and really a revelation of the spiritual authority that we have where we are able to use the name of Jesus. We have to understand the authority we really do have. He's, like I said, He's given us the power of attorney to use His name. And let's get our head around that. Number four, we have to be convinced that Jesus, by His Spirit, wants, and not only that He wants, that He actually expects us to do greater things than He did. If this is going to happen in our lives. The fifth one, if we want these things happening around us, is stir up the gifts within you and become passionate about Jesus. So passionate, in fact, as passionate as Jesus is about setting the captives free. We need to be that passionate. And He was passionate. I want to just share something, and I've shared this before, but maybe, you know, just as it ties in with what I'm speaking about here. Just one of my personal experiences. I was a baby Christian. Baby Christian. When I say maybe 18 months, I got born again. 18 months, maybe 2 years, I don't know. But I was so excited about Jesus. And we were reading the Word of God, and we were praying in the Spirit, and wherever we go, you know, we're just praying in tongues, and, you know, just. And what happened to me is that this one morning, I traveled through to the first shopping center. This is years ago. Is the first shopping center still there? I don't even know. Is it? Okay, still there, in Rosebank. I traveled through to the first shopping center, and I've been praying as I'm driving in my car. You know, all the way through, parked my car, got out of my car. As I get out of my car, this guy comes up to me, looks at me, deaf and dumb. And you can see it a mile. I mean, he just stood there and he went like this. You know, like there's no voice, I can't hear, and so on. So being the fervent, excited, on fire, believer, I've been born again for, you know, nearly 2 years. What do? I put my hand deep in my pocket and I hauled out this money and I gave it to him, closed my door, and I took 1, 2, 3 steps and I'm walking into the shopping center. And I feel the Lord say to me, "Is that all you can do? You've got my Spirit in you. Is that all you can do? Just give him some money." And I remember stopping. And I thought, oh dear. Okay, and I looked around. Just cause people. Now what do you do? Okay. Anyway, I call him up. I said, come here. So he came back to me, you know. And I kind of said to him, yeah. So he's looking at me like this. And I thought, this is it, man. You foul, deaf, and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of this man now, in Jesus' name. Folks, his eyes went as big as saucers. Big as saucers, as he's looking at me like this, and I can see his eyes then, he's fluttering, and he started making these noises, he started kind of speaking, and he's, you know, in terms of hearing, I said, can you hear? He said, yeah, can hear, right? Then I had a conversation with him. He actually told me this all happened to him. He must have been about, I don't know, maybe 4 years old. So he was able to hear before. This was demonic. As I said this, guess who was more excited? The guy that can suddenly hear, right, and talk, or me? Well, I was very close to him. So I said to this guy, and you know, he obviously, I said to him, Jesus just healed you. And he was just so excited. I said, now you go and tell 7 people here in this car park, and there's just everyone in the park. So he runs off, and I'm watching it. I'm just blown away. I mean, all I did is prayed. Okay? He runs off, and I'm looking, and I think, oh my word, God, your word is true. That's all you do. He runs off, and I see him talking. Next thing, while he's running off, this lady walks up to me. She says, I saw all of that. And I've been coming to this shopping center for many, many years. And I know that this guy was deaf and dumb. And I said, oh. And she was with her daughter. She said, won't you please pray for my daughter? Now we're having a prayer meeting in a, okay. Yeah. But I'm saying, folks, you know, so often we think, well, that person's more anointed. That one's more gifted. That one's got this and that one's got that. We just need to rise up and start to apply and use the authority that each and every single one of us have in the name of Jesus. Okay? As I say, baby Christian, I'm sure it was I wasn't even 2 years in the Lord. All right? God doesn't respect all this, you know, when you've got a whole lot of knowledge and so on. God's looking at us. He's looking at our hearts. And he wants to see men and women that will rise up and do what he's told us to do. I'm just saying, we need to be stepping out, right? And, you know, the thing is, once you've stepped out, it's easier to step out again. And, I mean, we've been exposed to, in terms of the demonic and casting out, seen plenty of that, all right? But it's just the first time, or the second time. And remember, okay, let me not get ahead. Anyway, I just wanted to share that, all right? And I know I have shared that before, but that's for those of us that see ourselves as baby Christians and, you know, everyone's more anointed than me. That was, excuse me, number 5. Number 6, in terms of you want to see these things happening around you, preach the gospel. Just share. I remember I said, if you're in pick and pay, speak to the person in front of you. Take these opportunities that the Lord gives us. Don't be one of those believers, okay, when you're out of church, no one knows you're a believer. You mix so well with those people at work. You just kind of slip in there and they don't know that you're a believer. You're not different. You're not letting your light shine in your environment wherever you are. Folks, we need to let our light shine. Okay, enough of this, excuse me, plain church where, you know, we just come to church and we warm up a pew here or seat or whatever it is, and then we go back. Do whatever it is, and we'll be back here again next week. These times we're living in right now, we need to start to rise up. Right? In other words, what I'm saying is, don't let whatever it is, even your environment at your office, start to tame you, make you passive, become a passive Christian. Oh, brother, I can't do that at work. Well, I was in a corporate multinational company. I've seen incredible things happen. You just open your mouth and pray. Just do it. All right? Obviously using wisdom as well. Don't be tamed. The next thing, if we want to see these things happening around us, make a quality decision to live a holy life. This is important. push in and draw close to the Lord. Draw close at all times, right? Let's make a decision to deal with the sin issues in our lives. Because if you don't deal with them in your life, no one else is going to deal with them. Amen. The eighth thing, believe that the Lord wants signs and wonders performed through you as you respond to Him. Remember, it is not, this takes the pressure off. It is not you doing it. Your job is to go like that and pray. Or open your mouth, whatever it is. It is then up to the Holy Spirit to do the rest. In other words, it's not by your power and your might, says the Lord. It's by His power and His might. The ninth thing, if you want this happening around you, be devoted to spending time in prayer, in His presence. This is an interesting one when it comes to prayer. Don't expect to see the signs and the wonders following you wherever you go if you don't spend time with the One who is the source of the signs and the wonders and the miracles. No, but I don't like praying. I don't like spending time with the Lord. No, no, but you want to be exposed to all of these things. Okay? Nearly done. The tenth one. Respond quickly when the Lord speaks to you about fasting. You know, as a church, corporately, we'll fast maybe once or twice a year. But folks, each one of us is the church. And the Lord might be speaking specifically to you about a specific thing. And He's calling you to a fast. Not all of us, just you. The next one, if we want to see this, they will speak in new tongues. Let's be devoted to doing this. And folks, if you don't speak in tongues, I was thinking about this, I think in the next month or two, I need to share on tongues so that we all know why we should be praying in tongues. There's incredible benefits and reasons why we pray in tongues. I couldn't put, you know, share on that here this morning, but we'll do that. And then the final one is be bold and place your hand on sick people with an expectation that they will get well. Right? Exercising faith right there. So, folks, this is not complicated. Our job is just to go out there and do, you know, what the Word of God says, and it is the Holy Spirit who will do the rest. And each one of us need to just take responsibilities for our own lives, okay? Let's become committed to this. Committed. Let's make the necessary adjustments. Expect to see signs, wonders, miracles following you. Not because you're important, but because God the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you and me. Amen? So it's a responsibility of each believer in Jesus to be obedient to God's Word. So let's just go out there and do it. Amen? Amen. You know,